At New Brand Baptist Church, you will find the following statement on our church website regarding the foundation of our local church. The website states that the emphasis of the foundation rests on the scriptures, the Holy Bible, the truth. It implies that the scriptures found in the Bible are the basis and foundation of the believer's faith. From Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As such, we accept Acts 17:11 as the basis of our mindset, and therefore we believe the doctrinal truths found in the scriptures. Today, we will be reminded from Acts 17 why we at this local assembly are called New Bereans. And you can find that on our website. The doctrines are also found on our website that we believe. And if you go there, you can also get a PDF of it so that you would print it out if you would like. So you can have it. What do we believe here? So that you can follow along. Following their rejection of the gospel message delivered by Paul and Silas by some in the synagogue in Thessalonica, a maniacal mob of Jewish unbelievers and their evil cohorts, along with a city of unhinged citizens in a frenzied uproar, place Paul and his companions in danger. Sounds like what we saw on TV this summer. Paul, Silas, and most of his companions, because Timothy stayed behind, managed to escape with their lives, and they traveled to the obscurity of a nearby town named Berea. And as Dr. Luke records this story in the Acts of the Apostles, we read the following passage concerning the attitude of that city in Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The title of our message today is Searching Like the Bereans. Searching Like the Bereans. We're coming from Acts 17, verses 1 through 12. Searching Like the Bereans. Our first point is this. They excoriated the preaching of the word of God in Thessalonica. And that's verses 1 through 9 of 17, Acts 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths, that's three Saturdays, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. So what Paul would do and his companions, they would go, when they visited a city, they would go to the local synagogue. If there were enough Jews in that city that was not Jerusalem, but out in the world, in different countries where Jews were scattered, they would form what's called synagogues. These were places of worship and learning. Their children learned how to read in the synagogue. Children learned how to read by using the word of God. They didn't have chapters and verses in those scriptures. They had to learn it all. Something we don't do today very often. We don't even teach spelling in school sometimes because we can just change it on our computer. But that's the way that Paul did that. He went to the city's synagogue and began to preach the message to the Jews. And if they didn't want to hear it, he would take it to the Gentiles. And so as his habit was in verse 2, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Can I remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, where he talks about this, and he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So that's where we find Paul there. And looking at verse 3 of Acts 17, it says, "Explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." That means the Messiah or the Anointed One. He was trying to point them to Jesus when he went to these synagogues and began to share the message. In verse 4, it says, "And some of them," we're talking about folks in Thessalonica, "and some of them were persuaded," not by human wisdom, but by the scriptures that he was using to share the gospel message with them. "And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas." In other words, there were a lot of very well-to-do, very well-respected people who believed based on the preaching of the word that Paul was giving them, where the Holy Spirit was using him and their hearts were pricked to receive Christ as Savior. Oh, but these were like the good soil in the parable of the sower. If you remember back in Mark, in that story, those hearers were likened to the good soil. Jesus explains in that parable that the farmer is sowing the word of God. That's the seed that he is sowing. And in Mark 4:20, he says, "As for the seed sown on good soil," like those in Thessalonica, "this means the men who hear the message and accept it, they produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times as much as they receive." You see, the word of God became fruitful when they heard it and they applied it. However, you're going to find something different in Acts 17, verse 5. It's an opposite. It's an opposite reaction to the preaching of Paul. Let's look at verse 5. "Oh, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, they took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob. And they set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people," meaning Paul and his companions, those that were for three Saturdays, were giving them the scriptures. You see, like the Jews and the Pharisees in Acts chapter 7, if you read that about Stephen, they stopped up their ears when Stephen was preaching about Jesus. They literally couldn't take hearing Stephen talk about the Messiah. They couldn't take it. They refused to listen. They rejected the message of the gospel outright. These people in Thessalonica, they refused to listen to Paul preach about a crucified Messiah who went to a cross. Oh, they took it to heart. The scriptures in Deuteronomy that says, cursed was him who was hung on a tree. In their minds, how can you say that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he was hanging on a tree? Those who hang on a tree are cursed. How can you say that the Messiah, that the anointed one, is one who was on a tree? Oh, no, we're not believing that junk. We're not believing that mess. Paul, you got to get out of here. The same thing that happened in Acts 7 when they plucked up their ears, when people talked about the crucified Christ and how he rose again from the dead. They couldn't take a Jesus who was both king and the suffering servant. They couldn't handle that. They refused to listen. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul quotes from Deuteronomy and he says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. See, that's not what the Pharisees, that's not what these Jews in this synagogue wanted to hear about their Messiah. They believed that the Messiah was supposed to have an earthly kingdom and rule from Jerusalem. How dare you say that our Messiah is cursed, hanging on a tree? But you see, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. Oh, they didn't like that. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Verse 14 of Galatians 3 says, he redeemed us. Why? In order that the blessed promise to Abraham would come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So that by faith we might receive, the promise of the Spirit. You see, that's what Paul was arguing. That's what he was reasoning with them. He was taking Jesus as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as Messiah and Anointed One, and explaining that he had to go to the cross to redeem us. Oh, but they weren't having that. Isaiah 53 gives us the true and perfect picture of our suffering Redeemer. Surely, it says, he took the cup, he took the pain, took our pain and bore our suffering in verse 4. Of Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Amen? Amen. It also says in verse 6, that's verse 6, it says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, or the punishment, of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, meaning the blood that he shed, we are healed. Oh, you see, that's what Paul was arguing in these synagogues. They can't take it. That's not what they wanted to hear about their Messiah. And because they couldn't see anything beyond a Messiah ruling from a throne in Jerusalem, these unbelieving Jews became jealous and angry. The word envious, the Greek has an idea of boiling hot, severe anger and hatred. They couldn't take hearing this message about our Jesus, about our Savior, as a suffering Redeemer on a cross. Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. But the Jews who were not persuaded, they became envious. They didn't like to see these people get saved. didn't like to see them believing a lie like that. And so rather than do the right thing, they took some of the evil men. Just think about going to downtown Portsmouth and finding it, you know, before COVID-19. You can't find anybody now. But finding folks that were recognized and known to be evil. These are religious folk now. And gathering a mob, and they set the city in an uproar. Rather than argue through scripture, they decided to use the civil authorities to lay charge against these people by lying, saying that they're talking about Jesus as another king. They're trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. You need to get these rascals. They couldn't talk to them one-on-one with the scriptures. They had to use evil means to get what they wanted employed. Poor Jason. All Jason did was he got a phone call and said, look, Paul and Silas and his boys, you know, they come into town. Can you put them up in your house? And he said, well, sure, praise the Lord. And he became a believer. And so he had them. They were there for 3 Saturdays. That means they were there for 3 weeks. And they were in his house, enjoying his wife's cooking, having a warm place to lay their head. All he was doing was being hospitable. Oh, but they came, and it says that they assaulted the house. In other words, they came in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. Didn't matter what time it was. And they just came and grabbed him and some of the other Christians who were supporting Paul and Silas. And they dragged him with the mob before the civil authorities. And they made him pay for it. And we believe most likely that they said, before you in agreement with paying for all of this stuff, all this trouble you've done by housing them, you're going to have to pay this money and sign on the dotted line that you won't let them come back to your house. Now, we think something like that might have happened because in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, which was written sometime after Paul had left there, it says, I came to Thessalonica and I wanted to come back again and again, but I couldn't because Satan stopped us. There was a reason he couldn't go back to Thessalonica. We're sure that there was probably some legal means. He didn't want to get Jason thrown in jail and say, I thought you got rid of Paul. We're going to throw you in jail for real now. But whatever the case, these people were evil, they were nasty, and they had him leave their city. They left Timothy behind. Let's look at verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And can you imagine how the gospel must have been back in those days? Some obscure religion by some rabbi named Jesus and a group of 12. And they say that now these men have turned the world upside down. Don't you think that the gospel is not powerful? Paul said it was. Oh, it has the power to save, doesn't it? Go back and look at Romans 1:16, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. It says in verse 7, Jason had harbored them. These are all having contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. Was that what Paul was arguing in the synagogue? No, they're making this up. Let's look at verse 8. They troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. In verse 9 says, so when they had taken security from Jason, that's his money, and the rest, they let them go. Wow. Wow. Our first point was they excoriated the preaching of the word of God in Thessalonica. Oh, but that's not the end of the story, folks. No, sir. Because we have a second point. It is they examined thoroughly the word of God in Berea. They weren't like those in Thessalonica. They examined thoroughly the word of God in Berea. Say Berea. Did you know that y'all are Bereans too? Are you not? What's the name of our church? New Bereans. We're not those Bereans, but we new Bereans. Amen. Praise the Lord for Pastor Rick and the brothers. What a good name we have. Bereans. New Bereans. Oh, it says in verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived in verse 10, it says they went, where do you think they went to? Holiday Inn. They went to check out what's happened at Cracker Barrel. Where did they go? They went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now, somebody might say, look, last time we did that, we got jacked up. No. First, we're going to test the water, see how these, no, they didn't do that. That's the first thing they did. They went to the synagogue of the Jews. But listen to verse 11. Oh, saints, listen to verse 11. This is sweet. These, talking about the Bereans, they were more noble or fair-minded in New King James than those in Thessalonica. How so? In that they receive the word with all readiness. Their minds were open to hearing the preached word. And it says, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Oh, Romans 10, 17. What a powerful verse. What was going on there at Berea? Romans 10, 17 was going on. It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing. Didn't they receive the word with all readiness of mind? Faith, folks, comes by hearing. And hearing what? Somebody who? And don't know what you're saying. Pray to God. Yeah, no. It says by hearing the word of God, folks. Woo! They heard the word of God. I think I told you before that was an older woman that I was staying as a boarder in her house. She heard that I was a preacher, so she figured, because she usually had girls stay at her house, so she invited me to stay at her house while I was working at my job. And she said, I sure wish you would come to our church and preach. Yeah, but you know, I don't like them preachers that come and preach from the Bible. She don't want me to come. But let me tell you, I don't have to bring a Bible with me. I can still preach the word. Amen. Oh, but these people in Thessalonica, folks, they were more noble than in Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's look at John 16 and verse 13. Why do you think that they were able to hear the word of God with the clarity as it was given to them? John chapter 16 and verse 13. Who do you think showed up when Paul and Silas and the boys went to the synagogue. Did they go by themselves? Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of what? Has come, he will do what? Guide you into all what? Oh, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See, when Paul and Silas were preaching, they were hearing from the Spirit of God. They were mere spokespeople who God was using as human instruments to deliver the message of the gospel. And next verse. Is found that in John, I don't believe I have it up here on the screen, but John 16, verses 8 through 12 in the Bible, Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will lead Christians to preach Jesus' gift of salvation, which delivers people from their sins. That's what he was doing. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was pricking people's hearts concerning sin. So we now look at our third point regarding these Bereans, because we want to be searching like those Bereans, don't we, saints? Amen? It says, not only did they examine thoroughly the word of God in Berea, but they endured the studying of the word of God. They endured the studying of the word of God. Acts 17 says, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Remember, in Thessalonica, they stopped up their ears. They didn't want to hear the word of God being preached about Jesus going to a cross. It was as though a callus was formed over their minds so that no words could get through concerning faith in Christ. It was as though the Satan had come and taken away the word of God from them. You know, he's a rascally fella. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. The Bible says that he blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they will not hear the love of God being preached to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. That's what the folks at Berea did. You see, they knew what the scripture said, and they heard what Paul and Silas were preaching, and they had them side by side. They could look at Isaiah 53 and compare that with what Paul was saying. They could look at the scriptures to see if they were aligned with what Paul was saying. Being open-minded rather than closed-minded, they decided they wanted to search the scriptures. The word for searching in the Greek has an idea of like a forensic examination. You know what that is, right? When you see on TV, they come and they get the body and they start examining the body, what was done to the body so they can determine the cause of death. It's like a judge who calls a commission to hear a case, and they go through it, all the evidence that's there to see what truth they can find. That's what these Bereans were like. They were digging for gold in their Bible, Sister Joan. They wanted to know, is what we're hearing aligning with, agreeing with Scripture? They were taking scriptures and comparing them against other scriptures that Paul was preaching from to see if there was truth. That's what they did. They weren't just taking it and saying, yeah, but that does sound good. Pray the Lord, pray the Lord. No, they were searching the scriptures. 1 John 4, verse 1. See, they were checking to see if the doctrines were aligning with themselves. Did the scriptures support other biblical teaching that Paul was using? 1 John 4 and verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I've told you before about me being fired from Sunday school by a new pastor, which was fine with me because the pastor is the pastor. But his message was a little dab of do ya, talking about Brill Cream. He came, he read a passage of scripture, he closed the Bible, took out his little black book. Now, I have an iPad, so okay, I'm not saying you can't do that, all right? But then he began to tell stories about Brill Cream and a little dab of do ya. But I could never figure out, what is it that's being dabbed? And who is it being dabbed on? I didn't hear anything about the gospel of Christ. If you're not talking about Jesus, I don't know why you're up here. So we got to test the spirits. And it's okay if someone challenges you if you know what you're preaching about. I don't mind you challenging me. Absolutely not. Brother Kaysen, I have a question for you. I'll be glad to entertain your question. There was a preacher in North Carolina. A Bible camp kids went to this local church. And when you go to Bible camp, you learn quite a bit of scripture. And so all these little children had come to sit in his church, which wasn't usually a real full church till they came. And here's what he was saying. He used a name that probably wasn't the right name. He mixed up names. I do that every now and then. And the child said, you mean David? And the preacher got upset. He said, close your Bibles. You're supposed to be listening to me. He got hot. I'm so glad that was before my time. Because I'd have said, kids, let's go. Time to go. If he doesn't want us to follow him in his word, then we ain't following him. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, be diligent. Paul's talking to Timothy now. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why is that? Because rightly dividing the word of truth. These Bereans, they love the word. They took to heart the understanding in 1 Peter 2:2, where he says, desire the sincere, pure, spiritual milk of the word like newborn babies, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. This brings us to our last point, where it tells us about these Bereans. In our last point, it says, point number 4, they experienced much with God's word. That comes from Acts 17 and verse 12. Acts 17 and verse 12, they experienced much with God's word. It says in verse 12, Therefore, many of them believed. What had they been doing? Searching the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were saying was true. It says, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. You know, this is great. Both men and women are getting the message of the gospel. And we have, for our youth ministry, we had two male teachers in junior church, Brother Samuel and myself. Oh, but we've got a crew of some lovely spiritual women. I know they missed their babies, but I saw and seen all of them teach. Like I said, I stand outside the door and listen. I don't always go in. But I did go in a couple times with Sister Boone, and I sat in the back through a crack in the divider, and I actually recorded some of her teaching, Sister Ann Boone. I'm telling you, she was true about her teaching. She taught those children the Word of God, and if they had a question, she didn't mind answering them. But her delivery, her style, her understanding of the scriptures, that's what I wanted to see. And they were getting it. She's a good teacher. All of them are good teachers, and I love all of them. Sister June, I've seen her teach too, and man, she just loves those kids. All of them love the kids. All those teachers love their kids, and they were giving them the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Why should anybody search the scriptures? It's just a book of old stories. No, sir. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 16 says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we are to do and to learn. For reproof, that means for us to find out when there's a fault or something that we need to work on. It points out a fault. For correction, how to correct that fault, how to get back on the right path. That comes for instruction in righteousness. If you're driving on an interstate and you get off on the wrong turn, that's okay. You can just loop right around and get back on the interstate. That's what the Word of God is like. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete. So if a person who calls themselves a man or woman of God, they are complete if they never study, if they never search the scriptures, they never investigate what God has to say about a matter. They just enjoy the singing. They just enjoy the hooping. They don't get anything else from digging in the Word of God. They're not complete according to this scripture. Amen? He may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. Are you thoroughly equipped, Brother Kaysen? I don't see no Bible in your hand. Oh, it's in here. Let me just rub my finger. I'll find it for you. I'll show you my King James Strong's Concordance, where I can press on a button and find out what the Greek word is. Don't tell me I ain't prepared. No, sir. I brought my stuff with me. And what I don't have down here is hidden in my heart. I want to be thoroughly equipped. You want to go on the job not wearing your hat and your steel-toed shoes and stuff be falling off. You know, you got to be prepared. You want your PPE, your personal protection equipment. Well, we got the scriptures here. I got my sword of the Spirit. Amen. Don't tell me we're not prepared. The people at Berea, they were prepared. People have paid the ultimate price, folks, so that we can experience what the Bereans experienced. There's a man named William Tyndale. You'll find some publications about Tyndale every now and then. But listen, he was executed for what they called heresy. his chief offense being that he had translated, listen now, he had translated the Holy Scriptures from the original Greek into English, being the first man to do so. He had full understanding of Greek. He knew about 7 to 9 languages. But the reason he was doing that was under the cover. He had to go to leave England and go to another country where they were printing Bibles and shipping them back to England. Because in those days, those who were the religious folk in charge, they liked the Latin that it was written in. And that's what they preached. They preached Latin. Most of the people couldn't read. Those that could read could not really get Latin, because that's not their daily language. He wanted people to have the Word of God in the language that they could understand in their hands so they could search the Scriptures. But that was wrong. They had sent a man in an inclandestine way to trick him. And he was captured. He was betrayed by this man, Henry Phillips, who alerted the authorities where Tallendale was. He was captured in 1535. He was charged with heresy. He stood trial, and he was condemned to be burned at the stake. Today we have the internet. We have multiple translations in multiple languages of the Word of God. We have it on our Bibles. We have it in our phones. We have it on the internet. We hear it on the radio. But we still, sometimes, some people don't want to search the Scriptures. Don't we want to experience much with the Word of God like these Bereans? What about Psalms 1, verse 2? It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." What is this Berean going to be like when he does that? It says in verse 3 of Psalm 1, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So we don't want to just get in the Bible because of doctrines about salvation and sanctification and glorification and heaven and hell and God and Satan and eternity.